This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Someone is going to do an impersonation of Mufti Mink, all right? He's not impossible to get a hold of, you know, like, Sheikh, I really love you, I love your lectures, and I actually do your accent and your voice pretty well. Do you mind if I do that? And some people think that's hilarious, you know, and you know, so they're okay with that, and it's flattering and all that stuff. And some people cannot tolerate those kinds of things. So, but especially depends on how you're making. Are you just nailing the accent and the voice and the mannerisms, or are you just making fun of them, making them say dumb things, like hinting that, oh, we got to wrap up, huh? So hinting that, you know, they're not smart or something like that. Beware of whom and aware of whom you're joking with. Like, you don't think you can joke the same way with everybody. You know, one time someone did something extremely disrespectful and rude to me, so I spoke to him about it. And then a minute later, he comes to my house. He's like, by the way, I joke the same way with Sheikh so-and-so. I don't care. Maybe you know him well. Maybe you have that relationship. Maybe he has that personality. But you don't say, because I joke this way with this person, I can do the same with everybody else. And they also say joking is like salt. You know, a little of it is just right. Too much of it ruins everything. And there are appropriate times to joke. Please do not go to the funeral and as you're offering condolences, bust out the latest joke that you heard. Okay, so the scholar, that's why the quote from Sufyan al-Uyayna said, it is only for those who know how to do it or and the right time to do it. So there's a time for joking. But as far as vulgarity, the Prophet ﷺ said that the Muslim is not lewd and he is not vulgar. So jokes today are almost all of a sexual nature or involve some kind of profanity. That is not appropriate whatsoever. Do not joke like that, and don't make it an excuse, which is what we do today. Oh, this is how I've always joked. Oh, this is how I am. I'm deep down, I'm you know, I'm vulgar, so if you can't handle it, you leave. Nah, Habib, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Like, you put the joke above Islam and above manners and above people's feelings. I always watch these interviews with these comedians, and they always make the joke the most sacred thing ever. They're like, it's a joke, so I can say anything I want because I'm joking. And you're supposed to take it well because I'm joking. No, joking does not come above akhlaq, good akhlaq, meaning good people, good manners. It does not come above the religion. It does not come above the etiquettes that are in Islam. And it does not come above other people's feelings. Like, we think, since it was a joke, I can hurt your feelings. And it's your fault that your feelings got hurt because I'm joking. You're the recipient. La, Habibi. That is not correct. The last thing I wanted to say is, what if you don't like the joke? For God's sake, people, if someone tells a joke you don't like, it is absolutely not important to give them feedback on that joke. It is absolutely of no importance, you know? But we think, because we used to it, we give things thumbs up and thumbs down. We rate things on Yelp. We give it how many stars. So when someone's in front of us live, we think we should also let them know how we feel. But it's absolutely not important. If someone tells a joke to a room of 100 people and 98% of them or 98 people laugh and only 2 don't laugh, they don't have to wait for him outside like this and say, I didn't like the joke that you mentioned. It's like, okay. But you did hear the room break out in laughter. If there's something haram about the joke, then you should come and tell me, because that's nasiha. But to tell me you did not like the joke, it's not important. So it's of better manners. If there's nothing haram about the joke, you don't have to let people know. Well, one time I was in Florida, and I was giving the Al-Maghrib class. It was for a Friday. And there was a sister waiting for me outside the whole time. When I finally came out to the car, she was like, oh, I was just waiting for you to tell you that I don't like your style of humor. So, طبعاً, you just waited outside this whole time to tell me that? There are many people who don't like it. But it's not important to tell me that you like it or not. Why did you feel the need to sit out in the dark in the parking lot for this whole time just to let me know you don't like it? I said, there are many speakers, I don't like their style. I don't go contact them. Salaam alaikum. This is the Allama, the Sheikh of the Sunnah, Kamal. And I just want to let you know that I don't like your style. inshallah, you never like my style. Get lost. I mean, I'm the guy who would say that to me. Like, who cares? Anyways, I don't know about what you mean by crude humor, because I need to be specific. But if it involves profanity, vulgarity, then it is not from the attributes of the believer to be vulgar and to be crude. Okay? Some people live to criticize. Yes, some people live to criticize. And basically, they live to kill. They live to kill ideas and projects and innovation and creativity. And I always tell people, do not surround yourself with people like that. Raghid K says, I like your humor, Sheikh. That is because you have good taste. Yes. Excellent. All right. Jazakum Lakhair, everybody, for tuning in. You are in the capable hands of a man that we, in inner circles, refer to as the Don, and that is Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, the Don. He probably doesn't want everyone to know that he is the Don, but between you and me, the man is the Don. So he's doing the Prophet's smile. Oh, man, oh, man. Sister Hafsa, send me a link, because I want to take that class as well. Jazakum Allah khairan, everybody. Sallallahu barak ala Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Not so fast, Assalamu alaikum flash. Jazakallah khair for this. I'm so glad I can stay muted with my camera off, is all I'm going to say. I've lost half of my tea because I spilled it knocking over laughing. So I'll send you the bill for that cleanup.
Absolutely.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Honestly, the quality of our lives would be much lower if we did not have Kamal Makki humor in it. So may Allah reward you. And I know jokes are rewardable. Putting smiles on people's faces are rewardable. May Allah grant you Jannah because of it. Ameen, Ya Rab. If you want to keep up with Sheikh Kamal and you want to keep up with his jokes, he does a weekly series called Youthful Knowledge on the Clear Lake Islamic Center Facebook page, I think, on their YouTube as well. I only see it on Facebook. As well, he does Friday Night Lights with Sheikh Waleed and sometimes Sheikh Ammar and guest speakers as well. So you can keep up with him online. He's very reclusive otherwise, so it's hard to find him. We're very lucky, alhamdulillah, to have him join us for this experience and, of course, to contribute to this addition to the Prophet's Smile course. Jazakallah khair for being here with us, inshallah. I want to rewatch that when I have less, dangerous substances around me, inshallah. But look forward to keeping you on, catching you online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam, barakallahu feekum. Thank you, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Some quick reminders before we jump in and we invite Yahya Ibrahim to the stage. For those of you who've been attending from the very beginning, Jazakumullah khair, but I see many of you, mashallah, more than half of you have come in as we've started the session. I hope that you enjoyed Sheikh Kamal Makki, our instructor as well with the Maghrib Institute, and hopefully you enjoyed the session we just had on the Sunnah of joking. The next session that we're going to have with Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim is going to be on the Sunnah diet. Before we jump into it, I just want to remind you, and actually I didn't mention this in the beginning, I was saving this for a good moment, but alhamdulillah, not only is this session sponsored by the Prophet Smile course by Maghrib Online, which is an on-demand course that has been filled professionally, but with Sheikh Yahya, broken down, made super easy for you to consume, a lot of content, 16 hours of content, but broken down in a way that you can very, very easily go through it and benefit and learn and love the characteristics of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's at maghrib.online, but we've actually done a little surprise, a temporary little extra kind of gift to everyone who is watching right now. So for the next 48 hours, if you go over to the link that you see on my screen, maghrib.online/exclusive, you will get 30% off of the course price. And the course price is different depending on wherever you're coming in from in the world. So it's going to be a little bit reduced or higher or whatnot based on if you're coming in from Malaysia or Pakistan or whatnot. It's always localized to you. And you get an additional 30% off on top of that. So head over there right now. Don't lose that opportunity. If you're watching the recording, especially you don't know how much time you have left, make sure that you do take advantage at maghrib.online/exclusive. Now, without further ado, I know we're running a little bit late. Sheikh Yahya, mashallah, is always on time and always, ready before time, mashallah, with us. And I know you want to go into the topic, the Sunnah diet. So I'm going to bring him on screen so that we can jump into the second part of today's webinar programming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Yahya. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me. Jazakallah khair.
Barakalfik. And Sheikh, I could see you actually, I don't know if you can tell, but I can see the instructors as they're waiting. I could see you and me both cracking up, trying to hold it together for the end of Sheikh Kamal's session. May Allah reward him, Ameen, for those laughs. Inshallah, I'm actually very excited for this topic as well, the Sunnah diet, because there's so many diet trends. There's so many fads every, you know, couple months, not even the trend. It's actually faster than that. Every couple weeks, every month or so, it seems like one next fruit or one next, you know, vegetable or meat or whatnot is the be all end all of having a healthy lifestyle and is going to save your life and is going to cure you from cancer and diseases and whatnot. So of course, the most blessed diet, of course, would be the diet of the Prophet. And I'm very excited to hear what you have to say about that, inshallah. And do you want to give us a bit of a sneak peek, inshallah, in terms of what we're going to discuss today?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. I just really wanted to speak about the general principles of the Prophet's lifestyle as it relates to consumption. So what he would eat, how he would eat it, when he would eat it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think most people, they kind of get bogged down into what it was. You know, did he eat dates? Okay. Was it, you know, milk and honey and so on?
Okay, that's interesting. So yeah, that's what I was assuming, because that's where we go first, is what was the content of his diet. But timing and all that, I'm very excited, inshallah, to delve into it. As usual, you guys can leave your questions and comments and interactions, inshallah, in the chat. But let's jump in. Bismillah, Sheikh. The stage is all yours.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'd. Whenever we speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should get into that really good habit of articulating, pronouncing the salawat, the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're going to be, everything we're talking about today is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So get in that habit of celebrating him. You know, the salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a celebration of your faith in what he brought to us. So even when we're speaking about things that may seem like mundane, about how he ate or when he ate or how often he ate, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let it be a reason that connects you to him. And that's the very purpose that we're gathered today, of course. We're understanding that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, given to you as an example of excellence, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there will be certain things that the Prophet ﷺ ate, did, lived, wore, dressed, walked, rode, that aren't relevant to our life today. I'll ride a camel, for example, as a touristic opportunity. I don't do it as a mode of travel. Yet, however, I will still follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in how he traveled, the times he chose, the opportunities that he had, the dua he made before, during, and after, the manner of prayer that he did in whatever direction he was facing, the holisticness of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ becomes the moral guiding compass that you and I seek to have in our life. And therefore, that becomes a really important kind of thought process. Following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is a thought process. It's something that you make as an intentional, voluntary, willful decision. It's not meant to be just a reflexive reaction to things just because you've always been saying, inshallah, you say it. It's meant to be premeditated, voluntary, intentional, deliberate, as a way of earning reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so too is the sunnah concept of diet. Now, of course, you know, it's a really clickbait kind of thing, the sunnah diet. You're like, okay, what's the meal plan, right? And that's not really the aim of it. So I want to speak about certain principles of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consumed. And when we speak about diet, usually the word diet has the idea of restricting, because we today are those who are prone to excessiveness. So when you say I'm on a diet, nobody assumes that I'm on a Mediterranean balanced diet or I'm eating whole foods. What people assume is I gotta stop, I gotta lessen, I gotta curtail what it is that I'm normally doing. Now that is the first principle, that the concept of diet is a holistic approach. So the Prophet's diet related to his walking a lot. It related to him drinking a lot of water. It related to him having physical exertion in his days, in his evenings, in his nights. It related to him standing long hours in the night in prayer, which means his body was active for a third of the night when many of us are knocked out, zonked out. It means that he slept in certain hours that are earlier than what many of us would do today. And it also showed that the Prophet ﷺ did not see life and did not teach us that life was compartmentalized, where it's, you know, this is food and that's separate to exercise and that's separate to sleep and that's separate to prayer. Rather, he taught us that you got to take it all for you to be upon the sunnah. Now, that's principle number one, that the sunnah is a whole lifestyle approach. And when we speak about the diet of the Prophet ﷺ, we're not speaking about the diet of the Prophet ﷺ in terms of just food consumption or drink consumption, but it's a thought process that's inclusive of all of our different behaviors. Number two, I think it's really important to stress the importance of the Prophet ﷺ being a person who had different lifestyle habits of food and consumption in different moments of his life. One of the beautiful hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha, she reports, she said that one day the Prophet ﷺ, he and I, we had a race and he beat me. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he was quicker than me. And then she said, he beat me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ أَخَذْتُ الْلَحْمِ, because my body had grown so that I had more weight on me, right? I had more weight on me. So that kind of shows you, you know, in the first instance when she was younger and she was, you know, she was quick, she was very quick, she beat the Prophet ﷺ. But in the second time, you know, she had matured a little bit and she had put on a little bit more weight, that the Prophet ﷺ was quicker than her. And that really always struck me that, you know, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, in the life of the Sahaba, there were moments of ups and downs. There's this false concept that the Prophet ﷺ was always lean and trim, that the Prophet ﷺ was always muscularly built. And that's not entirely the case. We know that even from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, there were different ways in how he would rise up, for example, from sujood. Because there's certain days in your life where you're not feeling as strong as you normally do. So as you get up from sujood, you sit down a little bit before you stand up. And there were other days in his life, maybe younger days in his life, healthier days in his life, where he didn't feel a pain or he wasn't unwell, where he would rise up quickly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even in the manners of our prayer, even in the reports of the Sahaba, I want you to know that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is not necessarily the whole sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So when I report of something that the Prophet ate or a manner in how he prayed, where it's describing, I saw the Prophet on a day and he did this, this didn't necessarily mean to the ulama that that was the constant, continuous, unchanging habit of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So when Aisha says that the Prophet ﷺ, there were many weeks, many months where light was not lit in the house of the Prophet ﷺ to bake or to cook or to make soup because it was a time of austerity and poverty, don't take that and say, well, see, that shows you, you know, we should be, very self-depriving and we shouldn't enjoy luxurious meals, because there's other hadith that show us different in the lifestyle and in the habit of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that becomes a second really important principle. So we said the first is to take a holistic approach. Number two is that isolated reports in the hadith, isolated statements, eyewitness accounts of a moment or a time or a year of the Prophet ﷺ's life is not indicative of the whole of it, and that the Prophet's life had different tempos, different modes of consumption, different times of levity and other times of austerity, peace and blessings be upon him. And such is your life. You should also remember that in your life, there will be moments of excess at times, may Allah protect us, and there will be moments of austerity that we need to be careful with as equal in that regard. And number three, the importance of water. One of the things you hear about the Prophet ﷺ was that he consumed water. He used to love particular drinks, especially if they had a sweetness to it. That was, you know, maghafir was a drink that was made with a mix of honey and herbs and berries and things like that. It was made for him by some of his senior's wives, Sauda radiallahu anha, and some of the others. So those kind of things are things that were seen as luxuries. But the standard of the Prophet ﷺ was that water was considered a staple. It was considered something that was his go-to. And milk and water, the two greatest liquids known in the tradition in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, are generally referenced. They're referenced in dream interpretation. They're referenced in the Prophet's ascension on the day of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. They're referenced in the battles of the Prophet ﷺ. They're referenced in the breaking of fast and in the suhoor. You know, all of those are kind of things where we see that these, you know, this liquid diet of the Prophet ﷺ was pervasive. And I want you to hear that word. There was a liquid diet for the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Al-Miqdad radiallahu anhu, it's one of those amazing hadith, and we don't have time to go through the whole hadith. But it was a time of famine, and he said, I was so hungry and malnutrition, ذَهَبَ سَمْعُنَا وَبَصَرُنَا. Myself and two of my friends, our sight and our hearing departed us. We were so malnutrition, we couldn't see or hear. And we went to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, well, look, there's a goat over there. There's, you know, take some of its milk and make that your meal and leave me a cup of it that I can have some for myself. So that shows you that that was considered a food. Of the greatest sources of protein for the Prophet ﷺ was dairy, milk curd, cheese, and drinking milk. That was probably the greatest source of protein that the Prophet ﷺ enjoyed. They would harden some of the milk proteins and then they would make soup with it. It's like a type of yogurt-y kind of soup. Was one of the most known meals to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was asked about the verse in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You'll be questioned by Allah on the Day of Judgment about an-na'im, about the blessings and the graces of God that He gave you that you haven't worked to earn. And the Prophet ﷺ said, شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ بَارِدٍ. It is the luxury of a sip of cold water, فِي يَوْمٍ حَارٍ, even on a day that is hot. So water was, you know, it's a precious thing. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ, that the longevity and the life of everything that is alive and sustained today goes back and is rooted in its need and essence and origin of water. Number four, sleep. What does sleep have to do with food? Well, you know, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that there are two meals that we take when we're fasting. What are they? Suhoor and iftar, the futur. Basically, those were always the two meals of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the reason it's called suhoor, it's because it's in the time of sahar, wabil ashar, you know, a little bit before the sun rises. So the sahar time is a time of blessing. It is a time of increase. It's a time of accepted dua. It is a time where Allah jalla jalalu descends to the worldly heavens to receive our dua and ask for and seek our forgiveness to those who seek it from Him, that it's given to them. It's a powerful time. And that's where we get the concept of suhoor. But really, all it is was that the Prophet ﷺ made earlier his first meal of the day. So the Prophet ﷺ in his seerah, he's known to have eaten twice a day. As a regular lifestyle, he would have two meals in the day. A meal in the morning, and the meal in the afternoon. And that meal in the afternoon was a meal that at times could be skipped. It was a meal that at times could be skipped. So when people speak about intermittent fasting and so on, that was a natural lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That was the natural habit. It was two meals a day. They were spread out from each other. And there were long periods between them where the Prophet ﷺ would not consume anything except water. Anything except water, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sleep becomes a very important aspect as it relates to that. And that, you know, that principle about sleep is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. I made your night for rest and for you to take recourse in it to readjust yourselves. Libasa, it's like, it's something like you've cloaked yourself with protection. It's like, it's something that has given you a moment of quiet, rest, privacy, and sedateness. And that is a blessing from Allah. Ja'alna, it's Allah who made that as a healing process for all of us. Number two, وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. The nahar was meant to be for activity, for getting out there, for doing what you need to get done. And that's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And therefore, in seeing those two, some of the ulama have connected that there should be a meal in the evening and a meal in the day. And they've connected that the two times of our sleep should also be two times of our consumption. So when you have risen, that you see that the suhoor is something that you take before you get on with your day. And as you're ending, you know, your long day of work, you have a meal before you go to sleep by a few hours. And that is considered a holistic sense of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's adjusted life. There's a great principle that we take from the Quran. The next principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat to your heart's delight, drink to your heart's delight, but do not be excessive. Tusrifu. Don't go beyond the measure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all know these hadith growing up, he said that a believer, as is narrated in the Sahih, eats with one stomach, with one intestine. They have capacity for just, you know, a small place. While an unbeliever, a hypocrite, eats with seven. And seven here, للمبالغة, meaning that they are excessive. They're just going to keep eating and eating and eating, and there's gluttony, right? That's you know, that's a statement of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the believer is reserved. We also know in the authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when we eat as believers, we have one section of our stomach for food, one section for liquid, and one section for air. One of the things we notice about the Prophet ﷺ is that he didn't mix food and water all the time together. So we'd have one or the other, not necessarily both at the same time. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he would say, I never in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ ate from more than one plate, meaning that there wasn't just buffets of food. It wasn't like I had meat and fish and chicken and, you know, all of it together. Rather, it was one meal that would be partaken from. And subhanAllah, it may seem hard to kind of think of this. And I'm not saying that you're not allowed to have more than one variety. So I'm not saying that you can't have, you know, chicken and meat in the same day. I'm just saying it doesn't meet the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a consistent pattern in his life. Were there moments where there was a lavish feast? Yes, the Prophet loved thareed. Thareed is broth, meat cooked in its broth that would then be poured on buttered bread, and it would be eaten with the bread that soaks up the broth and then the meat of the mutton. That was the favored meal of the Prophet ﷺ with the stewed vegetables that were added to it. Peace and blessings be upon him. So, you know, there were moments of enjoyment, but that was not the standard. If you were to classify the habit of the Prophet ﷺ, he was a raw food consumer who was semi-vegetarian. So very rarely was meat affordable or on offer for the people in Al-Madina in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It was very rare. It wasn't the norm to have meat. Certainly wasn't a weekly thing. Certainly wasn't daily. It would be, you know, every month or two. And that's why, you know, the concept of giving udhiyah and sharing meat with your family and neighbors was because that was like a celebration. You know, it would happen, you know, it was rare. So even in the wedding, and even in the weddings, it was something rare. When you've been blessed with a child, you would offer that meat. And that's where we get this concept of sacrifice. It's not about, you know, the blood sacrifice. It is that the meat would be shared out with people who normally don't have access to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless our lives, but readjust us. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Don't be excessive in that regard. And I know time is getting short. I don't want to go over. There's so much to be said, but a lot of it is found in my course, you know, the Prophet's Smile. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person who was accessible to men and women. His lifestyle is accessible to men and women, young and old, Arab and non. His habits are meant to bring delight to the heart, strength to the body, clarity to the mind. His systems are meant to provide the most consistent leadership, the greatest teaching capabilities. It is what is meant to lead us to a path of righteousness for ourselves and our homes and our families if we just partook and partake from the ocean of mercy that Allah sent us through His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you and I know that our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is revered by us as Muslims. But what you may not know is that the principles that he taught are what are revealed by those who don't know that they are his principles. So many of the things that you will study and you will hear about leadership, about teaching techniques of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about, you know, how to influence people and how to be a good friend to others and how to sleep well and eat well and represent yourself as an upright human being is actually the sunnah. To me, the greatest definition of what is this word sunnah mean, it means to be a human. It's to humanize you, to give you the ahsan al-akhlaq. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about himself, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ, I came to complete the mannerisms, the ethics, the ethos, the morality of mankind. That's his purpose. Peace and blessings be upon him. Finally, I wanted to say about the foods of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, being somebody who consumed raw materials. What do I mean by raw materials? So Sahl radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is asked, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat white flour? Did he, you know, did he, what, you know, that kind of flour that they had after his death, a generation later, you know, luxury began to enter into the ummah. He said, wallahi, I swear to you by God, the Prophet ﷺ never even saw it. He never saw that milled flour that came and, you know, people had milled it for us and then we cooked it. They said, well, what did you eat? He said, we used to have barley and then we would grind it and blow on it so that the husk would fall off. And then we would grind it again and make our bread from it. Now, barley and oats are, you know, supremely nutritious. They are things, you know, people speak about having raw foods and whole foods. And these are the things that are important to us. And they are. And I want you to kind of look at how much packaging you have. The more packaging, the less wholesome, the less wholesome, the less consistent it is with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't speak about the diet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we don't speak about fasting. Mondays and Thursdays, 13, 14, 15 of every lunar calendar were a consistent behavior of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his messengership. There are certain foods and vegetables that are mentioned in the Quran that are important for us to take note of because all of them are considered superfoods, antioxidants. You know, there are foods that are good for you, cucumbers, garlic, onions, lentils, mentioned directly in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 61, right? Fava beans and ful, you know, Egyptians love their ful, mashallah. There are fruits, of course, that are mentioned as being descriptions of what we will have similar to in Jannah, but cannot be compared to what is found in Jannah. Things like grapes and dates and olives and its oil, pomegranates and its oil, bananas, figs, all of that are things that are discussed and described in the Quran. Honey as being a shifa. In this authentic hadith, a man came and complained about stomach illnesses and intestinal illnesses and so on. The Prophet said, give him honey. And they gave it to him for a day and they came back and they said, he's still, you know, he's still unwell. He said, give him honey. He's still, and the hadith in Bukhari, give him honey. And he's still unwell. And the Prophet ﷺ said, give him honey. And on the third day, they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, he's still unwell. Maybe honey isn't working. He said, Allah spoke the truth and your friend's stomach is what is untruthful. Give him honey. So they gave him honey and gave him honey until he became well. And honey is something that has always been seen as a cure and as a treatment. and it is something that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. But you will always see the greater value of raw honey and active honey and so on. The final thing that I'll say before I conclude and hand us over to Sister Hafsa, inshallah, is the power of dua as being a part of our consumption habits and of our eating habits. To say Bismillah before your meal and Alhamdulillah at the end of the meal is powerful. It's incredible to say Bismillah and to say Alhamdulillah at the end. And many people, they forget that when you say Bismillah, it restricts the shaitan from consuming and from denutritioning your food. So when you eat and you've said Bismillah, you're able to spiritually enjoy the food, not just physically. And that's something people forget. Food, we speak about soul food. It heals the soul. You know, everybody enjoys something when they're, you know, something that reminds them of better days or better times or somebody they loved who's now departed from their life. But there's also the soul food that has been blessed because of our connection to Allah, that we recognize the morsel that we put to our mouth is by the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nobody else can have it. Because there's other times where you've made yourself that sandwich and somebody else has eaten it or eaten some of it. It was their rizq even though you worked for it. The rizq is with Allah, and that's a powerful, powerful teaching. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all, inshallah. In a couple of hours, inshallah, I have another program about loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it leads us into Jannah and being with the Prophet in Jannah. You can find some of its details on my Facebook page, on Al Maghrib's Facebook page, inshallah. It's done through Al Maghrib Malaysia, and I hope you'll connect with me in a couple of hours for that as well, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Please do enroll for my program. I know that you will have an incredible time with it, and I can't wait to get on with some more of the live sessions that complement the on-demand content. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a legacy for us and a reason for our entrance into Jannah. Allahumma ameen. وصلى الله وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh, for that amazing session. Very excited, inshallah, to delve deeper. This was, I know, just a taste of the experience that we get in the Prophet's Smile through Almaghrib.online. So this has got me excited as well, alhamdulillah. We always get little lectures here and there, maybe for half an hour or an hour. We discuss the seerah in Jummah Khutbahs. It's so nice to spend so much time with the Prophet and in his life and in the highs, the lows, the characteristics, feeling like you're almost walking that journey with him. So very excited to delve into this course. Jazakallah khair to all the time that you've spent in creating the content, curating it for the class. And of course, mashallah, you've taught it over years to hundreds of students across the Maghrib world. And now it's available to the entire globe. So I really encourage you guys, if you're listening right now or if you're watching the recording later, but especially within this 48-hour period, to head over to almaghrib.online/exclusive. We mentioned just a little sneakily there in the middle of the session that we do have a special little 30% off discount. And we don't really, I don't think we've ever done this, don't quote me on that, for an online course. So please do take advantage of that and share the khair, spread the love, tell others about it, get the reward for their registration and their benefit as well in the class. But for now, Sheikh Yahya, Jazakallah khair for joining us, for being part of this experience once again. We look forward to benefiting you from you consistently over the next week or so, inshallah. And then of course, in the class, peppering you with our questions and learning in a community environment as we go through the life and the characteristics of the Prophet. Jazakallah khair once again.
Jazakumullah khair. It's always a pleasure and honor, and I look forward to having these online programs with you guys. Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For everyone who's still watching, just a little sneak peek. If you've never taken an experience with Almaghrib.online, it's a super amazing, kind of easy way to absorb knowledge, especially if you're someone who's busy, who's on the go. You get the opportunity to go through an entire course. This course is 16 plus hours, 76 lessons, and I think 10, 11 modules, mashallah. But you can do it on demand at your own pace with lifetime access to all of the content so that you can always go back to it whenever you're having a bit of a dip, whenever you're needing a bit of a pick-me-up or a boost in your iman, you can go back and log in and find the course in your portal. It's available again for a limited time. We only have the registration portal open for a short period of time so that we can have students join to start the course together and to join the live Q&A sessions with Sheikh Yahya together as well. We will have 4 live Q&A sessions where you can spend an hour with the Sheikh just asking questions, delving into some of the content deeper. If there's something that you want a clarification on or you didn't think we covered, you're able to ask the Sheikh about it. And go far, far deeper than even the course covers. So we're very excited to see you guys, inshallah, on the other side, inside the class. Make sure you take full advantage once again at almaghrib.online/exclusive. And we will see you inside the Prophet's Smile with Almaghrib and with Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. Jazakallah khair for joining us once again. As Sheikh Yahya mentioned, he has a special talk for the Malaysian audience. So catch that, inshallah, as well online in a couple of hours, and catch him a couple times online throughout this week. But don't miss the opportunity to join the course and to have the complete experience with him as well. For now, take care, stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy. Assalamu alaikum.